According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Wisconsin's unemployment rate is at an all-time low of 2.8%. That's lower than the national average of 4.1%. That means different things to different people, and we're going to talk about what that means today. Hello, and welcome to Hashtag LocalGovMatters, the podcast about local government. I'm Gwen Gunther, president of Wheeler Reports. Today we're talking about the Wisconsin economy, and I'm joined by UW-Madison economics professor Noah Williams. Welcome, Professor.
Hi, happy to be here.
So, Professor, you're the director of the Center of Research on the Wisconsin Economy. What is that?
The Center for Research on the Wisconsin Economy, or we call it by its acronym CRO, is a research center in the Department of Economics at UW-Madison. And our interest is in supporting and disseminating economic policy research with a particular focus on the Wisconsin economy and state-level economic policy issues.
So are you looking specifically by administrations, or are you looking overall at the Wisconsin economy?
We're looking overall at the Wisconsin economy, some of it looking at some longer-term trends, but then we also comment and try to evaluate some shorter-term and more current policy issues. We've tried to weigh in on some of those.
Okay.
Things.
Are you looking from the top down on how Wisconsin policy impacts local governments, or are you looking from the bottom up on how local economies impact the Wisconsin government, or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. I would say so far our interest has been more on policy and economics at the state level, but we have delved into some more disaggregated looking at things at the local level as well.
Okay. So when you're talking about the economy and you're studying things, what are some of the key items that you're looking at?
Some of the things we've focused on have been employment and unemployment in the state and in the different regions of the state as well. We also have a longer-term project going on looking at migration tied to employment. There's been a lot of interest in labor force and demographic issues in the state. And one factor there has been that our labor force has grown relatively slowly and migration rates have been relatively low. So that's a longer-term project that we're looking into. We're also looking at some other things more on the business side, the role of new firms and startups in the state economy, as well as some more applied policy issues, looking at tax policy.
Okay. So what do people need to know about the basics for the Wisconsin economy? Obviously, we're heavy in manufacturing. We're heavy in agricultural. We have a large tourism pull in Wisconsin. But what are some of the other things people need to know about the Wisconsin economy in general?
So I think the things you highlighted are definitely important. We have a very strong tradition in agriculture and manufacturing, and particularly in manufacturing, still remain more heavily a manufacturing state than the rest of the country. One important thing to notice, which I've already touched on and which I'm sure will come up in the discussion today, is the labor force and demographic issues. So when we're looking at some of the indicators for the state economy, lots of times you get a different picture if you look at overall measures, meaning just the overall size of the economy, overall employment, overall incomes, as opposed to things on a more per capita basis, so measuring living standards of individual people. Essentially, we have an older and slower growing population, so that changes some of those relative comparisons.
Okay. So one of the things that I think about in Wisconsin when I think about how things are done on a policy range are we have Milwaukee, southeastern Wisconsin, we have Madison, and then we seem to have the rest of the state. And while the Fox Valley seems to be a new area that's growing and the Hudson Valley, we still have a large portion of central and northern Wisconsin that seems to have a completely different economy than the rest of the state.
Yes, I think that's true. And in a lot of the employment growth and the job growth has been concentrated more, particularly Dane County, but southern and southeastern Wisconsin more generally. Whereas the northern parts of the state, population has grown more slowly, and also employment and incomes have not done as well there. So yes, we do see rather stark differences. in employment and economic conditions across different parts of the state.
So, you know, there used to be a saying in Wisconsin that as Milwaukee goes, so goes the rest of the state. Does Milwaukee still lead? Is it still the driving force for the economy in Wisconsin, or have other parts started to play an equal part?
I think Milwaukee has actually become less important over time. Milwaukee accounts for the overall population in Milwaukee has actually been shrinking, and relative to the rest of the size of the state, it's become much less important over time. It's been trending downwards. So more important growth areas have been Dane County and the surrounding areas, particularly over, say, the last 10 years. And some of the other areas of strength, which you've noticed, sort of the Hudson, Eau Claire type area, have seen more rapid growth recently, as well as some of the more manufacturing heavy areas on the eastern part of the state.
Perfect. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about unemployment and what that actually means for Wisconsin.
The Wisconsin Counties Association represents Wisconsin's 72 counties at both the state and federal level. Learn more about how counties impact your community at wicounties.org.
So, Professor, one of the reasons I reached out to you originally was to talk about low unemployment. A lot has been said by government leaders about low unemployment in Wisconsin. What does it actually mean?
Yeah, so before getting into what it means for Wisconsin, I think it's important to just refresh exactly how do we measure unemployment and how does that differ from other measures of employment. So unemployment measures the fraction of the labor force who is actively looking for a job and is unemployed. So that's important to distinguish. A key qualifier there is people who are in the labor force and actively looking for a job. Particularly since the recession in 2008, there's been a decline overall nationwide in labor force participation. So less of the population is even actively looking for a job. So again, just important to keep those things straight. Unemployment, the labor force, and labor force participation. In Wisconsin, yeah, currently the unemployment rate is at 2.8%, which is the lowest it's ever been measured. It's been recorded at the state level since 1976, and it's never been this low. And this is relative to 4% nationwide, so significantly lower unemployment rates. If we look as well at labor force participation, so what's the fraction of the working age population who is either working or actively looking for a job? It's very high in Wisconsin, on the order of 68% to 69%, 68.9% in the most recent data. Again, that's well above nationwide. Nationwide, it's just under 63%. So not only is unemployment lower, we have a larger fraction of the population who is in the labor force and participating, which means if you look at the overall share of the population who's working, it's very high in the state, 67%. Again, compared to just over 60% nationwide. So unemployment is low, participation is high, which means overall a large fraction of the population is working.
Okay, so that is generally an indication that our economy is doing well, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There are different people who will say different things. But so low unemployment, high participation, our economy is doing well. But now we're starting to hear stories about, I can't find workers, we're having to increase this. People are talking about inflation. Where does this all go? What does that all mean?
Yes, so it has become an increasing, I don't know if I want to say complaint, but an increasing issue of employers reporting that they're having difficulty filling jobs. The WMC does a survey, and they found that in their most recent survey, 80% of their members had reported difficulty filling jobs. So that's been it's been an important issue. I think a lot of that is, again, driven by the fact that labor force growth has been slow. So whereas previously, particularly coming out of the recession, when there was a relatively large stock of unemployed workers or people who are actively searching for a job, that it was easier to fill jobs. Whereas now, there's actually more job openings in the state than there are unemployed people, which means that we're seeing increasing reports of employers expanding their job pool, eliminating previous requirements. There's been actually a growth of people recruiting directly out of high school or providing more on-the-job training. So employers are getting perhaps being forced to be more creative in expanding their search for workers.
So when you say they're eliminating some of the things that they're doing to increase their job pool, you're referring to things like people who have a criminal record. Maybe they're not looking at some of those things, or they're taking those into consideration where before they wouldn't. Education, maybe if you don't have a college degree, they're willing to help you with that. Some places that I have talked to have said that they're starting to look at helping pay for kids going to college while they're going to college if they sign a commitment to come work with them when they're done. So there's more opportunity for people who are looking for jobs to get jobs right now because of the tight market.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, all of those areas which you've mentioned. And again, that's pointing towards the fact that it's just there aren't that many people out there who are currently actively looking for a job and not employed. So employers are trying to expand the pool, bring more people into the labor market.
So we had this again in the Thompson administration, where they were having some problems getting some people working and they were trying to expand. Some of the things that they were doing were looking overseas, doing recruitment in other states, and then companies covering moving costs and things like that. Is that something that companies are looking at right now?
So I think there has been some of that. There's certainly been a focus more on regional recruitment. There's been both the state and again, through some employers and the WMC, there's been recruitment focused on, both Northern Illinois, basically recruiting people from there. But also trying to get people who had ties to Wisconsin, so University of Wisconsin alumni or people who had lived in the state previously, trying to get them to move back to the state. So there definitely has been recruitment. And again, some of that's tied to the fact that migration rates just haven't been that high in Wisconsin. Turnover of the population isn't that large.
Okay. So can low unemployment lead to inflation, or is that just a myth that we hear?
So typically, lower unemployment leads to an acceleration of wage gains.
Okay.
It's kind of important to distinguish between overall inflation, which is the overall growth of the price level, which means the price of all goods and services, as opposed to relative wage increases. So, which means wages increasing faster than the price of consumer items, for instance. Historically, there has been a relationship between unemployment rates and inflation. Overall inflation is called the Phillips curve. But that relationship is really broken down, particularly over the last 10 years. This is something the Federal Reserve has, tracks when they look at setting interest rates. And as the unemployment rate has come down, nationwide, we just haven't seen an acceleration of inflation. So that relationship, it's been there at times in the past, but it doesn't seem to be there right now.
Okay. And are there some areas of employment that are having a harder time filling their job pool than others? I mean, are manufacturers having an easier time, or service industry, or, you know, higher education?
I think as the expansion has proceeded, it's become more and more widespread, this difficulty of finding employment. Earlier on in the recovery, there was a lot of talk about a skills gap, meaning there were workers out there searching for a job, but maybe they didn't line up directly with the job openings. Whereas we hear much less discussion of that now, it's more of just a bodies problem. There just aren't the people out there, again, who are searching for a job. So employers, again, have been looking at expanding the pool. I think manufacturing has been a very tight industry, but that's also spread now to services as well. And one thing which we do see is there tends to be kind of an acceleration where people get their foot in the door at one job and then switch to another. Often the expansion of one business comes at the cost of recruiting workers from another. Right. So there isn't necessarily an overall increase in employment by one business expanding.
So one of the things that I've always heard is that, you know, most people will hold 4 to 5 jobs over their careers, where it used to be with the baby boomers, they took a job and they were there for their whole career. Does a low unemployment rate encourage people to go to new jobs and try new things that maybe they weren't thinking about before, but now it's, hey, there's jobs out there and I think I can get them?
Certainly. Looking at, so there's measures of job turnover and quit rates. So if you look at, you know, in the depths of the recession, 2008, 2009, 2010, wasn't a good time to quit a job.
No,
if you had a job, you wanted to hang on to it. So quit rates were historically low. They've been increasing continually throughout the recovery, and now they're back, I believe, above where they were in 2006. So people are more willing to quit the jobs, and there's actually benefits to doing that. Overall, wage growth hasn't been very rapid throughout this recovery. It's been, you know, below 3% or so over the last year. But if you look at workers who move from one job to another, they're typically doing so because they're getting higher wages, better benefits. And there we've seen increases more on the order of closer to 4%. So people moving to, you know, getting into the labor force with one particular job, but then moving up. And again, I think that's, you know, all to the good on the worker side.
What areas of the state are the most impacted by the low unemployment right now?
So if you look at across countywide unemployment rates, roughly the bottom two-thirds of the state is below 3%.
Okay.
It's only the very most of the northern parts of the state where we still see, you know, higher unemployment, still, you know, 4 to 5%, so nowhere near as high as it had been, but still substantially higher than the rest of the state. I think again, some of the main areas would be Dane County, sort of the suburban Milwaukee counties, the, you know, Waukesha, Ozaukee, Washington, and there's actually Sheboygan. That area has actually seen more relatively rapid wage increases as well over the last year, more rapid than the rest of the state.
Wow, interesting. Why that area?
Again, it's a manufacturing heavy area. I think I read recently that they'd seen increases of on the order of 8% of average wages over the last year, whereas in the rest of the state, it's been more like 4%.
Okay. Do you expect that as the baby boomers continue to retire, that the unemployment rate is going to go even lower?
So the baby boomer retirement, that factors more into labor force participation rates.
Okay.
So if we look at, again, percentage of working age population who are in the labor force, either employed or are searching for a job, that has come down over time. You know, even though it's high in Wisconsin, 68%. Back in the 90s, it had been 75%.
Okay.
Again, a lot of that's due to demographics. As more workers get closer to retirement, fewer of them are in the labor force. So I think aging of the workforce is going to matter for tightness of the labor markets and for labor force growth, but not necessarily for unemployment rates specifically.
Is this going to be helpful for the millennials who are just getting into jobs now? They're having an easier time getting into jobs right now because the market needs people. But then over the next few years, as the baby boomers start to retire, they'll have the opportunity to move up.
I think that's definitely the case. If we look at, you know, who is working now and projecting forward what job openings are going to be, I think there's lots of opportunity in the state. And now, again, it's not necessarily the case that the supply is lined up with the demand in terms of industries, but there will be a lot of opportunities going forward.
Okay. And is there a percentage at which we start to worry about unemployment where we say, you know, we can't sustain this amount of unemployment, and it starts hurting businesses' abilities to expand or take contracts or do new things?
I think to a large extent, we're already there.
Okay.
In the So I don't know if it's worried. In some sense, it's kind of self-limiting, right? They bump up against this. We have seen businesses being less willing to expand, less willing to take on new businesses, just or take on new opportunities, just because they haven't been able to fill, or at least are concerned about the possibility of filling jobs. The counterpart to that is, you know, then we would expect wages to be increasing more rapidly, and we really haven't seen that yet. So that's been a little bit of a puzzle as to if the labor market is so tight, why aren't wages going up more rapidly? Some of that is perhaps driven by increased competition, both either nationally or internationally. The businesses don't have that much opportunity to expand. They're willing to hire workers at a particular wage where it will still be profitable, but if wages would go higher, then it just wouldn't be worthwhile.
Okay.
And tied with that is, at the end of the day, wages in the long run are driven by productivity. So how much output is each worker producing? And that just hasn't been growing very rapidly. It's been less than 1% per year on average since 2012.
All right. Well, stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Wisconsin economy and maybe a little bit about Illinois and Iowa and Minnesota. So stay tuned.
The League of Wisconsin Municipalities advocates for Wisconsin's 600 cities and villages, speaking up for local democracy and common-sense citizen-led government. Learn more at lwm-info.org.
Professor, one thing that keeps making the news and everyone likes to do is compare Wisconsin to other states. They compare our taxes to Illinois, to Iowa, to Minnesota, to Ohio. What do people need to know when they are listening to comparisons of Wisconsin versus anything?
Yeah, so that's very common, particularly Wisconsin versus Minnesota. There's been a number of comparisons recently, or Wisconsin versus Illinois. The important things to notice or to think about are there are some clear similarities, particularly, I would say, Wisconsin and Minnesota in terms of size, rough demographics. But there are some important differences as well. Industry composition, again, we remain relatively more manufacturing heavy, but also urban concentration. All right, so we talked about Milwaukee has been declining as in importance relative to the rest of the state, whereas if you look at Minnesota, roughly 2/3 to 3/4 of their employment and population is in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and that's been increasing over time.
Wow.
Similarly, comparing Wisconsin to Illinois, I think southern Wisconsin and northern Illinois are relatively similar. But if you expand beyond that, I mean, Chicago is obviously very different in the urban areas there and then downstate from what we see here in the state. So there certainly are clear similarities along some dimensions, but also important differences. So it's important to take these comparisons with perhaps a grain of salt.
Okay. So when you say that Minnesota, 2/3 of their workforce is in the cities, say that again.
Yeah. So if you look at employment and output generated in the Minneapolis-St. Paul metropolitan area,
okay.
It's roughly 2/3 of the state economy.
Wow. So in Wisconsin, 2/3 of our economy is not coming from one portion of our state.
No.
Is there, I mean, you say southern Wisconsin, you know, Milwaukee, Dane County, everything near the border has a huge impact on
right.
our economy. But we also have the Fox Valley, which is a huge
exactly.
player. The Hudson Valley that are still very large. So we're not relying on one portion of our state to make the economy for everything.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Wisconsin is much more a larger number of medium-sized cities as
okay.
opposed to one key driving city. Clearly, Milwaukee is still the largest, but it's you know, it's maybe 20% to 30% of our employment as opposed to.
So we're far more diverse than Minnesota.
Far more
is.
Diverse.
Okay.
Yes, not as concentrated in one specific part of the state. Yes.
Okay, when you look at economies, everybody wants to compare Wisconsin to, let's say, Minnesota on they have a different tax structure or they have a different minimum wage.
Right.
Does that impact things like the low unemployment rate and things like that as much as it may have in the past?
I think it does. Of course, it's difficult to tease out exactly how much of the any changes are due to one particular policy, okay. right? So a common thing would be to just compare unemployment rates in Wisconsin, unemployment rates in Minnesota, and say, well, that must be due to policy differences. A more accurate comparison would be to look at, you know, track over time changes in unemployment or changes in employment along with changes in policies.
Okay.
All right. So, for instance, recently I looked at the minimum wage in particular in Minnesota compared to Wisconsin. So Wisconsin last raised the minimum wage in 2010, shortly after the federal minimum wage went up. So just basically keeping pace with the federal minimum wage. Whereas in Minnesota, they phased in a series of minimum wage increases starting in 2014. So they went from state minimum wage below the federal level to now well above it. So over this span, if you look from 2010 to 2014, take a key demographic which is affected by the minimum wage, which would be young workers, workers under the age of 24. From 2010 to 2014, when the minimum wages were roughly comparable in the two states, the growth rates in youth employment were about the same. But then once Minnesota started increasing their minimum wage in 2014, from 2014 to 2017, youth employment fell by 9%.
Oh.
Whereas in Wisconsin, over the same span, it increased by over 10%.
Okay.
So that's a case where we can track, you know, things look to be roughly comparable before this policy change. Then there was a policy change, and then we can look at the differences.
Interesting.
So that's a, you know, it's not a, you know, 100% clear, say, policy experiment, but it's relatively close.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for joining me today and talking about the Wisconsin economy. I think this has been a fascinating discussion. I think there's a lot more ahead, too. Professor Noah Williams from the Center for Research on Wisconsin Economy and a professor of economics at UW-Madison, thank you for coming. For additional information, we're going to link to your website in the blog post, and everyone will have access to that. And again, a shout out to our community radio stations, Rice Lake Radio 105.5 FM, Wapaka Radio 96.3 FM, Sun Prairie Radio 103.5 FM. And as usual, I want to thank the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and the Wisconsin Counties Association for joining me in this podcast endeavor. And thanks to Jackie Johnson for always making us sound wonderful.